All right. Well, we are excited to be back on a Thursday night track with you. And tonight, we're going to be doing something a little bit different. I'm going to be starting a series that I want to call Ethos. And I know that sounds a little weird. That's a Greek word. I'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. Maybe you've heard that term before. Maybe as a company or a corporation, you've talked about, you know, kind of the ethos, you know, of a particular ministry or a group that you're with. And as I was kind of asking the Lord, we've got a season here as we're beginning, you know, this brand new adventure on Sunday mornings. And we're coming off all this this excitement in terms of the series with The Chosen, just seeing Jesus and the way he was calling people to follow him. And my hope is that as you watch that series, A, that you are falling more in love with Jesus, but B, as you're seeing the different people that Jesus was calling, inviting, follow me, my hope is that you begin to see yourself in that story. And I know for a lot of people, it's like, Lord, where do I start? You know, I know for me, that was kind of like, wow, the fact that even God would like see me and want to use me after fill in the blank, right? Like, yeah, growing up in a Christian home, wonderful background of knowing who God is and his love. But when you walk away from that, when you kind of leave a mess of your life, you kind of just think, would God, could God? You know, and you're like, where do I even start? And as God began to open up those doors for me, radically change my life, renew my mind, you begin to see like, okay, God does have a plan. He still has promises. He didn't just throw them all away. And, you know, now I'm just like, I got to sit on the bench, you know, for like, you know, this whole, you know, plans and promises. Like, I think sometimes we feel like we miss the off-ramp of God's will. And I'm so grateful that over and over and over again, God brings us back and he allows us to be a part of this amazing plan. Now, when we were in Hungary, we would be in Budapest and we would do like these youth outreaches. And one of the things that I used to like to do in the summers with all of these kids is we would do a thing called a dragon boat race. You're looking at the picture. That's a dragon boat, right? So we're there on the Danube, this big river flowing through Europe. And we would get in these boats, and it is exactly like it seems. There's, you know, people like drumming. And you got to imagine, like, all of these teenagers and staff, and you're trying to get, you know, and people are like rowing the wrong way, and your boat's like turning, and you're like yelling at the guy, are you paddling? You know, you're like you can feel it when there's one paddle that's not in the water, or there's a paddle that's going the wrong way. And it's kind of a cool team building. Event because you do see what happens when we're all paddling in the same direction. But what you see is the most effective is not only is everybody paddling in the same direction, but if you've ever been out on a river and you're trying to paddle in the same direction, opposite the flow of the river, oh my goodness. Doesn't matter how hard you paddle, you're just like, I'm going nowhere. And so when you're paddling in the same direction, and in the same flow of the river, it is like, man, you just start zipping. And I feel like when I talk about the ethos, what I want us to kind of see for ourselves is, A, I want us to begin to see, thinking of that river, like, man, what is God's will? What is God's plan? What is his vision for the church? But as we think about being in the boat, say, our church, what is it like to grab a paddle and begin to, you know, be a part of this team that God is using us to take us further and faster in this vision, you know, of what God wants to do through Calvary Chapel Fullerton. And so I know many of you guys, you call this church your home, you tune in, and I'm so grateful. This has been my home church for over 25 years. God's radically changed my life through this church. And the teaching of God's word, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, man, it's renewed my mind. It's transformed, you know, who I am. But that was one part. You know, walking through the front door in terms of like, man, I'm going to sit in a Sunday morning service. But there was so much more that God began to do in me and through me as I began to kind of take that next step in terms of discipleship, to pick up a paddle, if you will, and begin to participate in the things that God had for me here at Calvary Chapel Fullerton. One of the definitions of this word ethos is this idea of practices or values that distinguish a person or an organization. So in other words, if we said, what are the ethos of Chick-fil-A, right? And it's like, you walk in and they're all, how may I serve you, right? Like you feel when you walk into that particular establishment, there's a consistency about the way that they want you to have this experience. And so there's an ethos there in terms of kind of the vision for how they go about everything they do. And when we talk about, say, a particular person, you know, whether they're, you know, we're talking about Kobe Bryant or something and the way he had his work ethic, et cetera, you might talk about that ethos. Well, for us as a church, when we say, okay, what does it mean to be a part of Calvary Chapel Fullerton? What does it mean to be a part of the work, the vision that God is giving us? And when I say us, I mean more than just me. I mean us, that he is calling us to participate in. And so what my hope is, and tonight I'm just going to kind of start on the big picture of this, but week by week, as you guys experience, you know, each one of these different studies, and you're really going to see there are going to be conversations. I'm going to be inviting different ministry leaders that I want you to meet. And I don't just want you to meet them, but I do think that's important. I think you need to see some of the people, you know, that are here grabbing a paddle. Hear some of their story. What is some of their vision? Why do we do children's ministry and youth ministry and Spanish ministry and recovery ministry? There are things that we do, not just because we're like, hey, maybe we should do something, but we believe that these are connected to the heart of God. These are part of God's vision for the church, and not just the church, but our church. And I think as God begins to help you see what we see, you might just discover the next step in this idea of like, what is this plan? What is this radical call, this Christian life that God has in store for you? So when we were there kind of doing our chosen series, right? And we did this for the last couple of weeks. One of the things that are at the heart of this is this invitation. That's the idea behind the chosen, people that God called. And as you go from season one to season two, the thing that I think I love the most is this character development. I'm getting to relate to some of these people that Jesus was saying, come, follow me. And I think as you think about some of these different people and you think, wow, God called that guy. And there wasn't just a Lone Ranger concept of ministry. God would grab 12 very unique, different personalities. And what they had in common was Jesus. And what Jesus was saying is, I want you to come follow me. I want you to go in the same direction that I am going. And I think as we are asking ourselves, what does it mean to be a part of the church? You know, we've talked about the church isn't a building, it's a body. And we believe that Jesus is alive. And part of what we're asking ourselves is, Lord, I don't want to just come to church. I want to follow you. I want to be a disciple. And wherever Jesus is leading, however Jesus is leading, those are the things that God is looking at and kind of the things in our heart and saying, okay, well done, good and faithful servant. As we watch one of these video clips tonight, I want you just to ponder, remember a moment in one of the more kind of powerful scenes as the least in this group that you're going to see of like who Jesus would pick to follow him. As we look at for just a moment, Matthew and his calling, and just remember, and that's going to kind of use a serve as a launching pad tonight for kind of what I want to talk about as we contemplate going deeper into the plans and promises that God has for each and every single one of us. Our heart, our goal is this following Jesus together. Did you hear me say that? I mean, whisper it back to yourself. What I want you to hear as an ethos of Calvary Chapel Fullerton, something, you know, that we all feel very strongly about is it's this idea of following Jesus together. It's not just as Pastor Caleb following Jesus or is David in the worship following Jesus, but it's this following Jesus together. And granted, the fact that we've been moving in different spots, we're all kind of feeling this idea of like, Lord, we're following you. But in reality, this is what ministry, this is what discipleship is all about. Now, as we think about the church, I've mentioned God's heart for the church isn't that it is a building, it's a body. Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. He says, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Now, we all know, because we've hit our finger with a hammer, we've stepped on, you know, something with our foot, like when one part of the body hurts, we all hurt. And if we were to lose, you know, a finger or something, man, the whole body would be impacted. And I need you to stop and think about that for a minute. You, as a Christian, are a part of the body of Christ. And where you're at right now in your spiritual walk, the things that God is calling and wanting to do in your life have an impact on the body as a whole, right? Just like if one part of the body had cancer or one part of the body was dealing, you know, with some struggle, well, it's going to impact the whole rest of the body. And so I want you to realize that you matter. You matter to God. You matter to us. You are a part of this plan, this purpose that God wants to do. This is why we want you to begin to discover, pray, ask, Lord, how are you wanting to use me as a part of this body? And a body is alive. It talks about hands and feet and eyes and mouth. You know, God has different gifts, different ways that he's calling you to be a part of what he's doing. And I don't want you to focus on, like, I'm going to spend so much time trying to be this part. I think we get confused by that. I think where it starts is obedience. It starts with willingness. Now, when we talk about taking steps of faith, being the church, being the body, the hands and feet, remember I mentioned it's cool to get in the boat, it's cool to grab a paddle, but we want to be paddling in the direction of the river, right? And when we talk about the river, what is God's heart? Well, we have some basics. These are the things that we want to be picking up our oars and be paddling in this direction. Acts 1:8, I have given you power to be my witnesses. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. You notice that word, witness? I love that word because what we're doing is we are reflecting, right? We are telling the story. If I were there in court, can I be a witness, right? Can I hold up my hand and say, I solemnly swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. And I'm telling what I've seen. I'm telling what I've heard. And see, with God's spirit inside of you, and we all have a story, but that idea that I can be a witness to my family and friends, I don't have to make up the story. I don't have to figure everything out. I can just tell. I can declare the truth that I know. I once was blind, but now I see. Let me tell you what I've seen God do. That's one part. The other one, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, talks about go into all the world and make disciples. We're not just supposed to witness, plant those seeds about Jesus. We're also supposed to be a part of helping develop, equip this next generation, the people around us. That's where, you know, getting plugged in together, a part in the things that God is wanting to do in the church. He wants us to grow. He wants us to bear fruit. And ultimately, as we move into those places of leadership and maturity as husbands and wives and parents and people that are serving in the church, just as he told Peter, feed my sheep. Like the church is the bride of Christ. He's calling us to be a part of ministering, nourishing, encouraging, and he's given you a role to play in that. So when you think about the river, am I paddling with the river? Are these the kind of things that I set as a priority in my life? Not because Calvary Chapel Fullerton said this is a priority, but because Jesus said this is a priority. This is what the river looks like. Now, let me show you a quick video clip of Matthew's calling, and then we're going to move into one passage that I want to talk about tonight.
You see the Parthian foot races last night? Darius ran like a gazelle.
Jews don't go to foot races.
Your old friend Simon himself used to run the wagering tables.
We're not friends. Next.
Okay, fine. So you did not go to the races. You stay home?
I went to see my mother.
That would put me out, too. She asked when you're going to give her grandchildren?
She didn't ask.
I thought your parents don't speak to you.
I had questions I couldn't ask anyone else.
A mother of a son with talent like yours should be proud.
She's ashamed that I could use the talent that God gave me against God. Next.
You're good at something. You found a way to make a living doing it. It's that simple.
Must be nice to live in a world so simply ordered.
We live in the same world, Matthew.
Next.
Besides, what else are you going to do with a mind like yours?
Matthew! Matthew, son of Alpheus!
Yes?
Follow me.
Me?
Yes, you.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
What are you doing?
You want me to join you?
Keep moving, street preacher.
Do you have any idea what this guy's done? Do you even know him?
Yes.
Listen, I said to...
What are you doing? Where do you think you're going?
Guys, let me go.
Have you lost your mind? You have money. Quintus protects you. No Jew lives as good as you. You're going to throw it all away.
Yes. I don't get it.
You didn't get it when I chose you either.
But this is different. I'm not a tax collector.
Get used to different.
I'm glad we passed by your booth today, Matthew.
Yes.
Shall we? We have a celebration to prepare for.
You will regret this, Matthew.
What's the tablet for?
I grabbed it without thinking. You can put it back.
No, keep it. You may yet find use for it.
Where are we going?
A dinner party.
I'm not welcome at dinner parties.
Well, that's not going to be a problem tonight. You're the host.
All right, well, that is one of my favorite scenes from season one, because there's so much that happens in there. As you're watching the tension develop of him seeing Jesus and hearing, and then on that one particular day, on that moment, as Jesus locks eyes with him, and then the invitation, come, follow me. And you can see all the things that he's processing. Really? Me? Do you even know me? And you can just see Jesus right there with him. I know you. And the other people, like, does he really know him? Does he know who he is? Does he know what he's done? And Jesus, like, I know exactly who he is. And as Matthew is processing what it's going to cost him, and you can see the hurdles as he's just like trying to get to Jesus. And then we know, because we've read the book of Matthew, we know how the story plays out, how radical the story in terms of how God is going to use him to change the world. And I think as we look at Matthew, we can kind of relate to that a little bit. And as I look at some of those things that we just saw in the clip, I want to take you to one other. There was Peter in that story, and there was a reference even in that scene about Peter's calling. And I want to look tonight, we're not going to spend very long, we're not going to go too deep into this passage, but I want to look at the passage in Luke chapter 5 as we see Peter's calling. Because I think as we think about what just happened with Matthew, and as we look at what also happened with Peter, I think for some of you, you've been paddling against the stream. I think there's that stream of God's will. There's the stream of God's promises and plans. And you just feel like, man, I'm just not getting where I want to go. Well, tonight, I want to help you turn around the boat. And I want to encourage you about picking up the oar, the thing that God maybe has for you, and to start maybe paddling a little bit deeper and beginning to discover where this is going to take you. As we look at our story in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, this is the story of Peter's calling. Peter's already met Jesus. But now the invitation to discipleship, the invitation to a changed life, to begin to discover a much bigger plan. Let's read the story, verse 1. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats, left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, we know him as Peter, and he asked him to put out a little from the shore. And he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. When he finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I'll let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. And they signaled their partners to the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at his feet, fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. And Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on the shore and left everything and followed him. So much that we could share about this story. But tonight, as I'm talking about this idea of ethos and I'm setting up kind of the scene for what we're going to be doing over the next couple of weeks and the next couple of months. And I want you to be able, with each conversation, each story that we share, each testimony that we bring on a Thursday night, I want you to look for some of these same similarities. Just like we're going to see some similarities tonight between Matthew and Peter, I believe there are some similarities with the way that God is calling you, inviting you. I think tonight we're going to see that the invitation is personal. I think we're going to see that the invitation is challenging. And at the end of the day, ultimately, it's all about taking a step of faith. I mean, look at these three things as we kind of look at this idea of kind of God calling us to get in the boat, to grab an oar, and kind of what this ethos of ministry is all about. Well, number one, the first thing that we see is it says that Jesus comes up. Peter's already out there, right? Finished up his night. They're cleaning up the nets. They're done. And what does Jesus do? Jesus gets in the boat. And he gets in the boat that belongs to Simon. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute. What does the boat represent for Simon? It's easy to just kind of skip over this. You know, Peter's seen Jesus around. He's heard about some of these different things. And now he's down here, you know, wrapping up, cleaning up the nets. And then all of a sudden, Jesus walks up and he gets in the boat. Now, we could start with the basics, right? I mean, Peter was a fisherman. So Jesus walks into, right, Peter's place of business. It's like Jesus walking into your job, you know, where you're like, "Man, I'm done for the day. I'm wrapping stuff up." And here Jesus shows up, you know, where I work. But we know that for these guys, it was more than just a job. This was his identity. Man, like I'm a fisherman. Like, this is who I am. Jesus is meeting Peter right there, kind of in his comfort zone. It wasn't at a synagogue. It wasn't at some holy mountain where Peter was at a retreat going, "God, what do you want to do with my life?" It's not there in his home and some, you know, secluded place. Jesus has come to meet Peter right there in the middle of that comfort zone. And when we see that this begins to get really personal, that Jesus comes to meet us right where we're at, I wonder, as you're beginning to think, okay, Caleb, ethos, like maybe there is a plan and God's, you know, where am I going to find him? Where am I going to? I would encourage you that maybe Jesus has already been tapping you on the shoulder in some of the places that you least expect. Maybe the place that God is going to begin to meet you, to challenge you, to want to take you deeper into that calling of being a witness, of you know, being one of those people that's making disciples. Yeah, you're like, "Man, okay, I got to go to church and do that." Sure. But I want you to notice where this revolutionary calling happened. For Matthew, it happened in the booth. For Peter, it happened in the boat. And for you, it might happen in a factory, in a car, sitting behind a desk. The place that God might start whispering to you about the fact that he has a plan. Now notice when we get to the end, when Jesus said, hey, Peter, I'm going to make you a collector of men. Is that what he said? Did Peter say, hey, I'm going to make you, you know, a trainer of men, you know? He said, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. I love that as Jesus is beginning to meet Peter where he's at, there's a call that is personal, and it's talking about using some of the giftings and some of the things that Peter has developed both naturally and practically, and God's saying, I want to use that for the kingdom. And I believe right now where you're at tonight is you're wondering, okay, Caleb, there's this river of God's will and there's a boat and I don't even know if I have a spot on the boat. God has already begun to equip you and use you. He has been orchestrating events in your life and the talents and the tools that he's given you. What if you began to stop right now tonight just saying, how could I use what I have for God's kingdom? Maybe it's your mind. Maybe it's your heart. Maybe it is your hands. There's something practical that you can do, that you can connect. Or maybe you just have an ability to learn, you know, things and be equipped. But the reality is what God was telling Peter, just like he was telling Matthew, hey man, keep your tablet, you might have use for it, is that we can use those things that God has given us for his kingdom, for his glory. And I want to encourage you right now tonight. This is one of the things that I think is so critical to the heart of ministry is, number one, the call is personal. God got into Peter's boat. He intentionally wanted to get Peter's attention and he wanted to meet him right where he was at. And ultimately he wanted to say, I can use you for the kingdom. Now, as we take the next observation, I've got your attention, huh? Because when you think about Jesus getting into the boat, you're like, that's kind of uncomfortable. But what I want you to see next, in one of the other versions, it says, launch out into the deep. I love this phrase. So now Jesus is in the boat with Peter, and he's going to give him an invitation. He's going to give him a challenge. And I think this is really the next step for a lot of you. I think many of you know that God's been tapping you on the heart. I think that that's one of the things that we just know as a church that's often saying, hey, God can use you. You're like, all right, that's cool. But here's what I want you to hear from Jesus tonight that he told Peter. I want you to launch out into the deep, and I want you to let your net down for a catch. God was telling Peter, I want to take you deeper, and I want to do something amazing in your life. Where are you at with Jesus? Maybe you've been saved 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. Peter had already heard about Jesus, knew about Jesus. But not only did he get into the boat, but now there's an invitation. There's a challenge. Peter, I want you to launch out into the deep, and I want you to let your net down for a catch. That's risky. This idea of wanting to go deeper, are you hearing Jesus tonight invite you to a deeper relationship, a deeper walk, a deeper part of his plans and promises? Man, we have so many amazing churches, and you can walk into buildings that'll blow your mind and worship with sound systems and lights and all kind of amazing stuff. And you can sit there and hear it and just, whoo, like, wow, this is awesome. But Christianity isn't just a spectator sport. It's not just something that God is calling us to receive. He's calling us to partner, to go deeper, to go past being just someone who's consuming, receiving, and to begin partnering. And as God's been tapping you on the heart and he's saying, hey, I want to make you a fisher of men. I want to use you in my kingdom. I've got a plan. I've got a promise. And the idea that I have for you is to take you deeper, to take you a place where you can cast out your net, and I want you to begin to see what I'm going to do. You know, Paul said to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, however it has been written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no human mind has conceived the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Guys, God has an amazing plan for you because he loves you. And that plan that he has for you is connected to the things that he wants to do in the kingdom before he comes back. And maybe we've lost sight of that just a little bit. That's why Paul prayed for the Ephesians. Man, I want you to have the mind of Christ and the heart of Christ. He wants to do immeasurably more than we can even ask or imagine. And I think sometimes we lose sight of that. I love that. Man, our church is filled. Man, during the pandemic, so many people stepped up, whether it was, you know, dropping off food or getting involved in different ministries. And I'm just like, man, I love being a part of this church. There's a lot of people who've been discovering so much more, who've been discovering this part of going deeper where God began to tap them. And they're like, okay, he's got my attention. And then comes the challenge. Then comes the invitation. I want to go deeper. And I believe that all the way down the list from the oldest to the youngest, God wants to go deeper, and he wants to go deeper in terms of casting that net out. Yeah, he knew they were tired. Yeah, he knew they had already been out at that place. And you might be one of these people in ministry going, yeah, but Pastor Caleb, you don't know, man. I've been down this road before. I ain't catch nothing. I wasn't someone who had the skills and the tools and whatever it was that you think was rooted in your performance or your experience. That's where Peter was at. Man, I ain't going to go back out there. I've already been out there and I caught nothing. Here's the third thing that we really need to understand as we think about this heart that I believe God wants us to have as a church. Yes, it's personal. He's getting into your boat and he sees you for who you are and he wants to use that for the kingdom. There's a challenge of going deeper. And it goes beyond what I can fathom because we see all the excuses. That's what happens next. He's like, man, I've already been out there and all that. And then he stops. And he has this to say, nevertheless, at your word, because you said so, I will let down the nets. Whatever your fear, whatever your insecurity about going deeper, taking this next step, I want you to remember the one who's asking. He knows you, and he knows what he's asking you to do. And the part that we have to hold on to is this faith, this part that is trusting not in me, not in my skill sets, not in my experience, but I am trusting the one, right, who died on the cross, rose again, who was able to do these amazing things through all of these disciples. And if he's knocking on my door and he's asking me if I want to go deeper, he knows what he's doing. And so like Peter tonight, the question you have to say, am I willing to say, nevertheless, at your word, because you've invited, because you've said, because you're calling me. It's not because Caleb's calling me or Franklin or Rich or Daniel or anybody else. The person who's tapping you on the shoulder tonight that I believe in our church, this is what God is calling our church to be connected. This is what the river is all about, is God calling individual people to go deeper with him through a relationship of faith. Guys, Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. He's not asking you because it makes sense. He's not asking you because you're highly qualified. In fact, it's often those things that we think disqualify us that most qualify us and prepare us, because it's in my weakness that we see his strength. Again, it comes down to what? If you say so, if you've said it. I don't want you to have blind faith. All right, I'll just do whatever you said. I don't want you to have borrowed faith. Well, because Caleb said it, what I want you to have is biblical faith, a faith that is rooted in the word of God. Lord, you said, you've put your spirit in me. I'm a part of the body. That means you have given me gifts, and these gifts are to be used for the edifying, building up of the body of Christ. You called me to be a witness. You called me to make disciples. You called me to feed your sheep. And if he's called you to get into the boat and grab an oar, then he will also equip you and lead you and walk you through the battle. He is right there with you. The faith isn't in me. The faith is in him. He said it, and if he who began the work, well, the Bible says he's faithful to complete it. This is the big thing about this idea of ethos, is understanding this river that we're talking about. Guys, I'm praying, we're praying, Lord, what's your will for Calvary Chapel Fullerton? What do you want to do in the city? That's why we have these different ministries and we do them different way. But notice that the idea here in terms of the river, that we're learning to say like Jesus there in the garden, because I could have all kinds of exciting plans, right? I don't want it to be, look at the top. You see the two arrows colliding? That's when it's my will versus thy will. That's not where I want to be. I don't want to be trying to pry open the door that God has closed. The example that we see with Jesus, not my will, but what? Thy will. My job is to move in the same direction that he's moving. And the cool thing is the compass, how do I know which way's north? God's word. What has God already said? And you'll notice each week as we describe ministries, if we just describe what we do and why we do it, we're hopefully giving you a biblical vision for God's heart for this. And so as you begin to see it and say, Lord, how do you want me to partner in that? How can I support? How do I get a paddle and paddle in the same direction that the river's going? Because that's the will of God revealed in the word of God. His word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. And that's what gives me the most confidence as a pastor, as your pastor, say, hey guys, follow me in this direction as I what? Follow Christ. And here's the thing. The river's moving. We can see it. We know the direction that it's heading. There's a boat, Calvary Chapel Fullerton, but there's also an oar. There's something that God is calling you to grab onto and participate. So as I said, here's what I'm throwing out there. For the next couple of weeks, you're going to see us sit down, kind of interview, do testimonials, but we're going to share a vision, not just like, hey, tune in, like we're going to talk today about children's ministry and tell everybody why we want you to do it. No, no, no. What I want to do is I want you to begin to understand God's heart for children, and I want you to understand our vision, and I want you as someone who's got an oar to know how to pray, how to support, and be a partner. I want you to invite, because this isn't just Calvary Chapel Fullerton. We believe that the things that God is calling us to do are rooted in the church. This is something that we want to see multiple boats doing. And so encourage other people, man, tune in. We are talking about the vision, the direction that God has called the church in our day. And so we're going to use some of the different leaders as we come up, and we're going to sit down across to each other. And as I ask them questions, because I want you to get to know them, their calling, kind of like Matthew and Peter, like, man, how did God begin to call you? What is some of the vision? What does God's word say about this vision? And then, yeah, maybe you might sense God handing you an oar, saying, maybe this is part of one of these littler boats that I need to be a part of. And as we cast vision, saying, what is God doing? And they say, well, here's what God has done. Here's what God is going to do. That is the thing. We want to be a church that's not just living in the past, but we also want to have vision for what God is desiring to do today and in the future. We want you to see, okay, this is the team that God has raised up. This is the mission. This is the vision. And we want you to see the opportunities, the places that God might be looking at you saying, this is where it's time to go deeper. This is what Ethos is all about. Hopefully, I've given you a little sample, just a little glimpse into what's going to be at the heart of these next couple of weeks and months as we lay out God's vision for the church. Remember, he said, and I will build my church. This isn't Caleb's church. This isn't Rich's church. This is Jesus's church. And as he is the head, as he is leading, we are learning, Lord, I want to be that part of the body that you are able to work through to fulfill the plans, the promises and purposes to impact the lives of the world around us, to impact your life. So tonight, it is my greatest desire, my greatest privilege for you, number one, to begin to see the river and go, oh, that's what this is all about. I want to move in the direction that God is going. I want to step into the boat. I want to grab hold, you know, of the things that God has equipped and prepared, because, man, that adventure will fulfill some of the deepest longings for you to feel connected, a part of, discovering, wow, God saw you, he called you, he knows you. In spite of all the other things that we've done and experienced, man, God is not done with you. Would you join me as we pray? Jesus, I want to say thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you love us, that you've called us by name, that you've got into our boat, Lord, where it's personal. You want to use each one of us. And tonight, Lord, there are some people who are saying, Lord, I've heard you whisper, I've heard you say, I want to go deeper. Launch out into the deep. And I pray, Lord, that week by week, we would be open to this idea of going deeper, of casting out our net, Lord, to receive that catch that you want to bring in our lives, Lord. Each one of the people listening, each one of the people connected to our church, Lord, is just another branch that you want to bear fruit. And Lord, we We want to believe this in faith because of who you are. It's you asking. Lord, because of your death and resurrection, we have great confidence that when you call us, just as we saw you use these disciples to change the world, so you want to use us as your disciples to change this world and our world. Lord, if there's anybody here tonight that's never responded to the first step of just saying, yeah, Lord, you can come into my boat. You can come into my heart. I pray tonight, Lord, they say, yes, Jesus, please come into my boat. Come in and show me, lead me, get me on this path that leads to eternal life, that I can experience this sense of calling, connection, purpose, and promise. I need that. I want that. Thank you, Lord, for how you've done that in my life, in the lives of everybody in this room that it's helping right now. We praise you. We give you all the glory. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So each week, tune in as we talk about another ministry, another way in which God is working as he's inviting you and I to go deeper with him. Hey, if you have any questions, text us 714-879-3314. We're going to be unfolding lots of different ways that you can grab a paddle and partner with us. Don't forget Sunday morning, this next Sunday, come join us at the Marriott as we start this brand new chapter and begin to kind of ask God, what do you want to do in this next season? We love you. Jesus loves you. We can't wait to see all that God wants to do. All right. God bless.